What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Obviously, you guys, you know, don't have a head coach. What are, like, if you could, you know, build your head coach, like,
yeah,
what are some qualities that you'd want in your next head coach?
Strong-minded, a leader of men. I think that's a cool thing about what y'all got over there in Detroit. Like,
Do you feel like your coach? You want your coach to be like offensive-minded, or you want him big picture?
I want him,
and then have the coordinators.
Like selfishly. I want an offensive-minded guy so I can build with him and, you know, be with that coach for the next 19, 17, 15 years.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 of the score. That's Caleb Williams on the podcast with the brother St. Brown. And I got to tell you, I mean, he does plan on having a 15 to 20 year career, right? 19 years. He's already played 1 year.
That's pretty ambitious. That's really interesting stuff, though.
Yeah, it's great.
Because in talking about, number one, he said strong-minded coach. Secondly, he mentioned leader of men, the term that triggers a lot of people. But selfishly, he said the offensive-minded guy would be also high on his list. Good to hear from Caleb Williams articulate that to an opponent in Amon-Ra St. Brown, and also speak with admiration for what they have in Dan Campbell.
They just dropped this podcast, okay? And Chris Tannehill, our director of sound, does a great job with the afternoon guys, as does Shane. It's a good combination. But they put this together. Chris put it together, and Brandon, our guy, Brandon gave us these list of cuts. We should go through a couple of them.
Good hustle, team. Yeah, well, he mentions a variety of things.
Oh, my God.
But we're going to stick to the things that we can probably talk about.
I mean, some of them are. I haven't heard the cut on losing his virginity, but it just shocks the hell out of me that someone would ask that question.
That was just a great tease for the podcast.
He would answer it.
Yeah, you have to listen to the entire podcast if you want those details.
That,
but he did talk about playing in Chicago and some of the things that come with playing in a city crazy about football.
Y'all got dogs over there, bro. I ain't gonna lie. Before the season, I'm like, the Bears are gonna be, bro, they're dangerous.
No, we got dogs. We got dogs.
I mean, you guys got a good team, bro.
Like the thing about us, like our locker room is it's actually, like before I came to the NFL, everybody was like, you know, when you get to NFL, locker rooms aren't gonna be the same, blah, 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 blah.
No, Chicago is different, bro. Trust me.
Bro, it was like, bro, when I got in the locker room, I was like we're mad tight.
Yeah.
Like, mad tight. Like, we were losing and all of that. The locker room was still the same from training camp to the end of season.
Yeah, Chicago's lit for sure.
Chicago's a vibe.
What are you trying to say? Detroit isn't? Like, we're tight, too.
No, you guys might be tight, too. I'm saying,
I'm just speaking about Chicago.
Oh, why you get so defensive? Why you get so defensive? From different teams.
Yeah.
I was just wondering what he was trying to say.
Why you get so
defensive? I don't know about Detroit. Yeah, I haven't done on teams.
So that is Amon-Ra St. Brown, but that's with his brother, Equanimeous? Former Bear?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So he can speak about Chicago from his own experience.
Yeah, and he agrees
that
they were tight in the locker room. And they have dogs. I wish they would release the hounds. He also was asked about the best player he's played with.
Who's the best player you ever played with?
Probably Keenan Allen or Jordan Addison in college, NFL. Probably Keenan, Jordan Addison in NFL or college.
Okay, I like those.
Yeah.
Ouch.
Fair enough.
Jordan was hooping.
Yeah,
he was at SC.
If he didn't get hurt, I think he would have had way more, hurt his ankle, sprained his ankle for a couple games. I think he would have had way more yards and catches and touchdowns.
Keenan Allen had the least productive season of his career, discounting the 15-16 season because he only played 9 games that year. But he did not have a very good year, okay. And yet we know he's an incredible route runner and he's open quite often.
Yes, he is.
Dustin,
can we get DJ Moore tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock?
Okay, there we go.
Missing name.
I got to tell you.
Very curious.
That's very interesting. DJ Moore is the best player offensively on the Bears.
Well, and Keenan Allen had lowest catch percentage of his career.
Keenan Allen showed up
best player he's
Caleb
played
Williams
with.
Pro Day.
He did.
They had a previous existing relationship, which was supposedly going to contribute to their good chemistry on the field. Chemistry, which frankly, DJ Moore and Caleb Williams kind of lacked. I think everyone would agree on that. Very interesting that not only did he mention Keenan Allen, but Jordan Addison.
Well,
the Vikings' number two receiver.
That was his best college.
I know, it's his guy.
Yeah.
Still, he's on the Vikings. Little love for DJ Moore, please.
Well, he didn't play with him in college.
But he played with him at the Bears for a season.
But he's not as good as Keenan Allen, who caught a couple of touchdown passes in London.
He's better than Keenan Allen right now.
I mean,
oh,
it's,
man.
It's wild.
That's pretty good. That's really good stuff.
Wild. Yeah, that's good stuff. What else did he say?
He talked about Marcus Freeman, the coach of the moment.
Yeah, let's hear him.
Speaking about Notre Dame, I heard the Bears are interviewing or want to interview their head coach. Is that
media? Is that real? Maybe. I don't know.
Okay, I was about to say.
Why not?
I haven't been.
Why not?
I mean, if I'm Freeman, I'm like, hold on.
Yeah.
Let me just stay put here.
I would stay put.
Great
just
coach.
Because, I would stay. I mean, he built everything over there. I mean.
Right.
But if they interview him, we'll see. We'll see if he takes that.
Not an overwhelming, not wowed by a USC guy talking about Notre Dame. I'm just saying.
And Marcus Freeman gave Caleb Williams the worst night of his senior year. Or that was his junior year. Was it? Was that his junior or senior? Anyway, it was a long night for Caleb Williams in South Bend, the last he saw Marcus Freeman in person. So I could see why the respect would be measured. But it was interesting.
Those are basically the shorter cuts. The rest of they're all very long answers, but it was interesting.
Yeah, well, it's good to hear him say what he was looking for in a head coach. The other stuff is very, very compelling. But in terms of the search, in terms of Caleb Williams' input, it doesn't seem like or sound like he is being involved on a regular basis.
No,
which might surprise some people. Maybe he will for the next round if the Bears ever get to the next round. Whenever it begins, but good to hear from him.
That's how he got catfished by the guy down in Florida. I don't know that can happen again because you would think he would be on the lookout for it. Maybe instead of if he gets contacted by, and I don't know who, is there a lot of Mike McCarthy's out there? Somebody calls him or someone goes on social media. Does he then make a phone call and check? Hey, did you hire Mike McCarthy? Oh, no. Okay, well then. This isn't the right guy.
Wouldn't you change your number if that happened to you?
I'm not.
He's probably got another phone.
I know you think I spend my days on social media. It's not true, David. I'm not doing all the TikTok dances.
But if you
like
got catfished in that way, you would change your number if you knew somebody had your number and it was.
No, I think. Oh, didn't they get his number through the contact?
I'd change my phone. Yeah. That's what I would do.
I would destroy my phone. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I wear a baseball hat over my eyebrows because I'm trying to avoid people identifying me walking through the street. I don't want to have like
so the FBI can't get facial recognition on you.
That's what I'm after.
Yeah, I know.
I was told that all you have to do is do that. So I'm just trying to avoid being accused
of any
crimes.
That embezzlement charge in 1984. Yeah. Okay. Here's what I wanted to hear from Caleb Williams, and I didn't listen to the entire podcast, but this is one question that I think he's going to have to answer whenever he next faces the media, or at least I hope so. And the Bears beat does a terrific job of asking the right questions. There's been a suggestion and even a report that he is not the most diligent of professionals, that he's not a guy that has necessarily got his nose in the playbook or scouring the tape. And I don't think that's a good perception to let go unchecked or unaddressed. I don't know if that's true or not, but I do know that that's been out there. And for him to, I think, start over essentially in year two with a new coach and a new scheme, that's something I'd like to hear him address. Does it bother him? What is his process? What are the types of things that he thinks are unfair characterizations of his approach?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
You know, those are the kinds of things that you don't want to, you know how it is in the NFL. You don't want labels. We're still making jokes about Kyler Murray and the clause that they wanted to put in his contract about playing video games. And I think that may be wildly unfair if he hasn't, you know, outgrown that or he had to address that. You don't want that. You don't want bad labels or unfair labels to stick, and I do wonder if he'll ever address that.
He did address, we do have a condensed version of what he had to say about the whole Manti Te'o situation, the catfish situation, excuse me. Listen to this.
I reached out to Amara, and I was not asking. I asked Amara for Ben's number, not for, obviously, not to... Like, I wasn't going to save his number because he's not our coach, right. And I wasn't going to do all of that. I was asking for or text him or anything. I was asking because I wanted to make sure it wasn't, because obviously so many fake numbers nowadays. I was asking him so I could see if it matches his number. Amara does Amara things and doesn't text back.
No, yeah. That's not what happened, bro.
That's crazy.
He goes, what's Ben's number?
He'll just disappear.
That's not true. I'm literally bro. Listen, he texted me, I said, he said, what's Ben's number? I got these random dudes trying to hit me up saying they're Ben and whatever. I go, Ben ain't coming to Chicago. And then he goes, nah.
He thinks I'm trying to play a joke. I'm being dead ass.
Then he goes, nah, these guys are hitting me up saying they're Ben. But at this time, I was eating dinner, so I didn't see my phone. 20 minutes later, like, I see the text, but it's too late. And he goes, it's all good. I called and it wasn't him. And I didn't put anything together. I said, oh, okay, bet. An hour later, it's on Twitter. I texted
everywhere.
I said, hell no, bro. Hell no.
Everywhere. Like, the text was so like official. Like I've gotten that text from college coaches and other coaches before, you know, getting drafted and all of that in different ways. So it looked mad professional. So I was like, all right, I'm just going to reach out and like, and then.
They didn't train you at USC for that?
That's a shot.
Wait, Caleb, you actually thought Ben though in the middle of the season was gonna?
Well, my reason was
because he went to USC, bro.
My reason was because they're doing the interview thing, and I was on the game, so I wasn't focused, and they were doing the interview the next day, and so I thought he already had the interview.
Okay.
So I was like, yeah, and then he. It was a class. I ain't gonna lie. It was a classic prank. It was a grade A, S tier prank.
There you go. That's Caleb Williams' response.
That's kind of funny.
He calls Amon Ross St. Brown to get the number for the coach. Doesn't get a call back, so it looked real. So he contacts him,
and he probably ended up being on the podcast because he contacted him
exactly
after getting pranked. And said, oh, hey, while I'm talking to you, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
And it sounded like something that...
it's a really good exchange between them.
It was funny.
Yeah.
It definitely a funny exchange. And if I were Caleb Williams, I would not want to talk about that as much as he has talked about that.
I think it's cool that he had no problem talking about that. I do too.
And he actually was a very good sport to the guys who pranked him after said, oh, all good. And then he went out and probably changed his number.
Yeah.
But he was pretty gracious. probably had nothing to gain from being anything other than gracious, but it was a funny exchange. It's good stuff.
All right. We got a lot of people who want to check in. We got to get back to the phone lines. We'll start with Jay. Jay is listening on the Odyssey app. Hey, Jay.
Hey, good morning, guys. At Mullane Hall. Be patient with me for 1 second. So, if I'm not mistaken, the Lions kind of went to the Ford family, and the Ford family kind of went back into their history and picked some guys up like Spielman and stuff like that to advise them on being, or first, you know, their next head coach, and they obviously picked Dan Campbell. What's wrong with Ron Rivera coaching the Bears? He has so many resources, and I'm not trying to get back into the 85 Bears stuff or anything, but the Bears preach all about their history and their past. Why can't you go right into your, you know, the broadcast booth where you have Tom Thayer? I think Tom Thayer would be a hell of an offensive line coach. To me, every time I listen to him, I feel like I learn something about football. Tom Thayer is a wealth of knowledge. I'm sure, you know, between him and Noel and Olin Cruz and things like that. I've, you know, with picking people, not so much if they don't want to be coaches, but I mean, I think they'd be hell of a coach. But by picking people and they know what it takes to win in Chicago, and maybe they could help them search for these guys. None of our offensive linemen are dogs, I would say, except for our left guard, and maybe our right tackle. But I mean, our offensive line in 85, they ran people over. And we just don't have that anymore. No one's teaching them that aggressive, you know, go at it. I mean, I know the times are different, but still, football's football. It's physical. And about running the ball, all history repeats itself. Now running the ball is important. It's always been important. It's just...
Thanks, Jay. That is, you know, the Bears do have a lot of people that played for them that have a lot of excellent qualities in terms of leadership, understanding of the game. It is a mystery why they've never tapped into that
resource. They really haven't. They've ignored that resource, and it's a well they haven't tapped. I don't know if now would be the time, but I think a guy like Thayer makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
As a consultant, as a maybe front office executive, however they want to use or utilize him.
For Tom.
I don't think coaching is probably...
Olin is working out with guys. He is working guys out in the league.
He's got a gym,
and he's working them all out. It's unbelievable the work he does and the knowledge he has.
About a decade ago, I think Thayer turned down an opportunity to return with the 49ers to go into coaching, and that was something he made.
I believe he was once interviewed for a general manager's job in Chicago. Mm-hmm. Back in the day. Yeah.
Definitely very anybody who's familiar with his insight would think that he would do a really sound, solid job. He would not be shy with his opinions. So the Bears have shown no appetite to tap into that. But I don't know why. It's a blind spot for
them.
It is
a blind spot. Dick is in Lake Villa. Hey, Dick.
Gentlemen.
Good morning.
I've got a story to tell you.
Sure. Okay.
All right? Be patient with me because I've been trying to get on for 2 weeks. First of all, this losing season falls on McCaskey and Poles, okay? Because McCaskey hired Poles. We don't need an inexperienced general manager that never worked a job. Okay, having said that, Poles should have been fired at the end of the season, period. And if George was a smart man, which seems he's not, he would have known the same things I knew that I read, that Ozzie Newsome just stepped down as general manager of the Ravens. He should have went and got Ozzie Newsome as his new general manager because Poles has proven he is not up for the task of the job. And I'll tell you why. First of all, he let Khalil Mack go. Then he let Roquan Smith leave. Then he let Leonard Floyd go to Frisco. And then he turns around and he doesn't re-sign David Montgomery, and he goes to the conference, within the conference, to the Lions.
Yep.
Stupid. Let me finish.
Go ahead.
Stupid.
Go ahead.
Okay, now, this is who I would name, just like the caller just was on, Zach Saban. I was listening to him last week or something like that, and he had the same mindset as I had. Well, first of all, hire Ron Rivera as your head coach. You got Ozzie Newsome, general manager, who built the Ravens. You hire Ron Rivera as your head coach. You get, if you can get Johnson from Detroit, make him assistant head coach so that when Rivera leaves, Johnson can step up and be the head coach. Next, you get Leslie Frazier as your defensive coach.
Okay.
Thanks, Dick. Appreciate the phone call.
I'm glad he got a well-thought-out plan. Okay.
Ozzie Newsome, 68 years old. I don't know if he wants to get back into it, but he is certainly one of those guys that you could use as a resource.
Ozzie has more information. I mean, he's forgotten things the definitely. Bears don't know.
Yeah, the Rivera question is a fair one. I don't think he's a guy that's the high on their list or at the top of their tiers. They probably have other guys in the way.
And
but we both have a lot of respect
for
Chico.
We just talked about tapping into Bears.
Yeah.
Okay. We do have a lot of respect for him. We're also going to switch gears. We got a chance to talk to our guy, Tommy Hotovy, the Cubs pitching coach. We're going to get a chance to chat with him a little bit, and we will take advantage of that.
It's a big weekend. The Cubs convention starts on Friday.
And will they introduce a mystery candidate? We'll ask that question. Does Tommy know something that we don't know? And what the hell happened to Roki? Mully and Haw on the score.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Pitching coach Tommy Hotovy of the Cubs wearing the blue pullover.
Tommy Hotovy, pitching coach for the Chicago Cubs.
You're transitioning from being a player to kind of getting into baseball. You take an online class, was it, at Boston U? Sabermetrics 101?
Yeah. Great, I was answer. A finance major in college, and wow. I had an economics minor. A lot of it was, too, I'm going to refresh all my econ knowledge, and I'm going to do it in a baseball course. It's like one of the best things ever.
There's just a lot of trust there with Tommy. We know he's such a hard worker. He puts in all the hours and really, really knows what he's talking about when it comes to pitching.
Tommy Hotovy, breaking down the starting rotation and bullpen on the north side with Mullen Haw.
I'm here for one reason. I want to help these guys get better, and we want to win baseball games.
Tommy Hotovy on 670 The Score.
Tommy! Mullen Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. It's always a delight to talk to Tommy Hotovy. He is the Cubs pitching coach. Big weekend coming up for the Cubs, and he joins us now on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Arturo, your all-weather tire. Check him out, Arturo.com. Tommy, how are you?
I'm doing great. Happy New Year, guys. How are you?
Doing well.
We're holding our breath, waiting to see if there's a three-peat. David has rejected the concept. I'm all for it.
I don't know, Tommy.
Hey, I am too. I'm here. I'm here just enjoying the ride. That's all I can say.
Well, I don't know if the Ravens would agree with that. We'll wait and see what happens, especially this weekend. Chiefs have their hands full, but I think they'll probably win in advance. But we digress. You're also going to be in town. Tommy, warning that right now, it's 8 degrees in Chicago. I know that probably you know that, but it's 8 degrees in Chicago, so dress appropriately for the Cubs convention.
I appreciate that. It's not much better here in Kansas City right now. There's been Cubs convention weekends where it's 45 degrees and everybody's wearing T-shirts outside, and then there's been times where we've been walking around in the snow. So the best part about Cubs convention for me, though, is like the weather doesn't matter. People come out in huge support of the team. It's always a fun time to get to see everybody. And I always say, like, the opening ceremonies that night, plus the Dempster show right afterwards, is like one of my favorite things, one of my favorite events of the year.
That's great. That's absolutely fun stuff. Help us out. So you're talking about a team where, you know, it looks like you're making a ton of moves in the bullpen. There's been a lot of guys signed. Do you know yet who the ninth inning guy is? Are we locked into a certain closer? What's going to happen with that? And I know it's a pre-spring training question, but I'm just really curious about what you see when you look at your crew.
I love we're January 15th and we're like, who's the closer? It's great because it's like the first day of spring training. That's the first question you get, like, who's the opening day starter and who's the closer? And, you know, I think if we sat here today and said that our team is the finished product, like, we would be doing us and everybody else a disservice. I think we're still, you know, very active in trying to continue to raise our floor, especially in the bullpen. And, you know, I think guys like Porter, like what Porter Hodge was able to do last year, was really fun to see. And the guy who, you know, basically started in Double A and kind of worked his way up and pitched himself into some really high leverage situations. And the one thing, though, that we've learned, you know, over the years and been able to see is, like, going in, you know, saying, like, this is the one guy that's going to be in this role, usually doesn't tend to work out quite the way you want to. So I think, you know, for us, just continuing to put good options out there. Porter is going to have a great season. There's probably going to be some times where he regresses a little bit as well, though, you know, coming into his second kind of full year in the big league. So continuing to surround and support him with guys back there. Nate Pearson had some really good innings last year. Merriweather, hopefully, you know, he's having a better offseason, feeling healthy. And then just adding some smaller pieces, too, just to kind of help, like, solidify that group. Like, Eli Morgan, somebody we're excited about. You know, we got over from Cleveland, you know, signing Fielbar, adding another lefty depth piece to go with, you know, like Luke Little and some of these younger guys. So, you know, it's definitely not a finished product. We're still, you know, looking to find ways to continue to support that group out there, but got to feel good about some of the young guys, how they performed last year, and looking forward to how they do this year as well.
So, Tommy, the big news this week was Roky Sasaki narrowed his choices. We may learn later today where he will land. The Cubs were in on him. They made a pitch for him. Just curious, number one, how involved were you with that process, and what is the right way to view this development? Because it does seem a little disappointing, but can you miss something you never had?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it's disappointing in the fact that, you know, we were one of the teams that got to present. You know, I was part of that, part of the process. We felt really good about just the overall process we went through, the presentation, the evaluation, the whole thing, and it didn't work out. And for one reason or another, he chose the three teams he did. And I think, you know, is it disappointing you don't get a guy of that caliber? Absolutely. But I think what you're able to take away as a group and as an organization, all the people that came together to work on a project like that, it's exciting because we know we can do really good things. And yes, we're not a finalist for Roki, but when you can showcase what you can do as an organization to an agency or to an industry in a different light that, you know, you don't do in normal free agency, I think it's always a really good thing. I do think the whole process is a little weird with a guy like Roki because it's just, just the international free agent signing thing is just, there still needs to be, in my opinion, some kinks, you know, worked out. The fact that you have a guy of that caliber that you're going to be able to get for 6 years in your organization, and all you and he gets to decide where he wants to go seems really strange when you have like a Paul Skeens who's a first round draft pick and the Pirates get him. So, you know, it's just a weird process, and I think it's something that, you know, I think MLB over time is going to need to continue to figure out because there's going to be more talent like his that pops up, you know, and we see that kind of every couple of years, some really, really talented people. But, you know, as far as our process, you know, felt really good about it. Now it's, you know, how we continue to find ways to make our team better.
I'm curious, Tommy, have you ever, I know you've said konnichiwa to Shota. Have you ever been to Japan? Are you looking forward to?
Never.
Yeah. Never.
Yeah, I've never been. Really looking forward to going. I think it's going to be, I mean, just the opportunity to go see a country like that you've never really seen, but also just the baseball atmosphere. I think, right, I'm really looking forward to that. I got to play in the Dominican winter ball, you know, 1 year when I was still playing. And I told guys all the time, it was one of the coolest experiences I've ever been in because it's just so different, the atmosphere and the way they would cheer during the games. And I just anticipate, you know, a really cool environment to be in, a country to be in. Obviously, the travel and going to Japan mid-spring training is always going to cause some, you know, it's on my radar big time because we're trying to plan and make sure guys are prepared and all those things. But, you know, it is going to be really fun, and it's going to be an awesome opportunity. It's going to be a great way for us to showcase our team and our talent on a big stage, and we're looking forward to it.
Tommy, what do the Cubs have in Matthew Boyd, and how would you characterize that signing? Is it high risk, high reward? Do you consider those risks with his injury history, you know, things that aren't factors now? Because he, if he is healthy, would seem like a big asset.
Yeah, I think it's there's definitely some risk reward there, just with the fact, you know, for his innings limits, basically over the last, you know, 3 to 4 years. But with that being said, I think part of the process when you're evaluating players is, you know, where are they now? What injuries are they coming off of? How did they finish? How are they feeling? You know, getting eyes on them in the offseason, it's important. And for a guy like Matt, I think, you know, if we're sitting here today and we say, like, Matt Boyd throws 120 innings of really good baseball, I think we'd all be, like, really happy about that. Anything above that would be great. We know when he's on the field, he is a really good pitcher. He's a really good pitcher. And he's proven that, you know, over time. So, you know, the communication side of things, making sure that he's feeling good and that he's when he's out on the field, he's going to be the best version of himself. It's extremely important. And one thing council talks about all the time is, like, it's a puzzle. It's a puzzle to cover 1,400, almost 1,500 innings in the course of the season. Starters, if you're a good team, your starting rotation is good, you're covering 850 to 900, 950 of those innings. It's all one big puzzle, and you're putting the pieces together. I think the combination of signing a Matt Boyd with the upside, but with some injury history, with guys like Colin Ray being able to cover some of that, knowing that you have some guys that can step in and cover some major innings if we need to make some moves, I think is really important. But for me, Matt Boyd is a guy who, you know, on the field, and we're going to keep him on the field, like, he's going to be a really good pitcher.
So along those lines, you know, guys, how they ended the season, are there injuries? Ben Brown and Kate Horton didn't finish 2024. Are they going to be on innings limits? Are they bullpen guys in your mind? How are they doing? How do you keep in touch with them at this point?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, they're both doing great right now, which is a really good thing. I think they'll both be here this weekend too. I know I'm pretty sure Ben and Kate are going to all both be in town, which will be fun for everybody to get to see them. I think what these signings allow you to do is not rush guys that either didn't finish the season healthy or might be slightly delayed. Not meaning that they're like hurt or not, going to be like missing the first 2 or 3 months of the season, but it just affords you the opportunity to not rush and push those guys in early in the season. We see mid-March, late March, and that end of April, early May times are the two biggest times of the year that guys get hurt in baseball, especially on the pitching side. And that's just been that way for a long time. We're doing a lot of research and finding ways to be able to try to negate that on our end. And some of that is just having more bodies and having the volume of pitchers you need to get through that portion of the season. Both of those guys, definitely still believe in as starters. We're always open, as you saw, like Ben last year at times, to have guys, young guys especially, come in and pitch some high leverage innings in the bullpen, and we trust them to do that. So it leaves the door wide open, and the signings like Boyd and Ray afford us the opportunity to not only, make sure those guys are ready for the season, but also have some creative ideas on how to utilize guys early.
So have you gone to Chiefs games? And when you do you sit in proximity to the Taylor Swift suite?
There's always one eye on the game, one eye on the suite. I feel like when you're there. But, this has been a busy offseason. It's been great. It's been one of the years I haven't gotten to go to a game yet. I feel like it's been just with family stuff and work stuff. It's just there's always something going on. But, it's funny. When the Ravens Bills game is going to be really fun to watch. Somebody in AFC has got to come in and try to beat the Chiefs, not try to lose. It just seems like this time of year, everybody comes to KC and they try not to lose instead of trying to just put your hair back and play on fire. So be fun to see this weekend how the games play out.
So if they get past the Texans, Tommy, who do you prefer? Who are you cheering for in that game?
I prefer the Bills. The one thing about the Bills is like Josh Allen is one of those guys that's not afraid of the Chiefs.
Right.
But man, I don't want any part of Derrick Henry and I'm spacing on the quarterback.
Lamar.
Lamar.
What? Yeah.
He's a pretty good right-hander.
I may even be good in the bullpen, but those two guys just scare me this time of year. They can just control a game and I don't really love seeing any part of those guys.
That's awesome. Thanks so much, Tommy. Have a great weekend. We're looking forward to it.
Safe travels, Tommy. See you Saturday.
Thank you, guys. Have a great one.
That is Tommy Howdeve, the Cubs pitching coach. He's a regular guest on the show, and we love talking to him.
Yeah, they still probably need a closer, and they lost out on Sasaki, but they've had a pretty good offseason.
Yeah, and we've got Shelley next. Mully and Haw on the score.
Chris Chelios. Up the boards to Chelios with room. He shoots. Score! BetMGM ambassador. The sportsbook born in Vegas.
Nice play by Chris Chelios.
Hockey Hall of Famer.
Chris Chelios is not human. I'm convinced of it. Not only will he go in the Hall of Fame, I think he should go in the Smithsonian.
Blackhawks legend.
Chelios will add defense, but he'll also add offense to the Hawks.
Steve Smith ahead to Murphy. Nichols at the line. Chelios moving in.
Three-time Stanley Cup champion.
What a competitor Chris Chelios has been over the years, and he's been a winner every place he's ever been.
Chris Chelios with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Joining us now is BetMGM ambassador Chris Chelios. BetMGM, the sports book born in Vegas, and Chris joins us on The Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo. Your all-weather tire, Aturo.com. Good morning, Chris. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you guys?
Doing all right.
Well, I've been thinking about you. I got to be honest. I'm watching this thing unfold in Los Angeles, and I know you had property there. We know you had a beautiful home in Malibu. You must know a ton of people impacted by this, the horrible fires that are going on. How bad is it? Have you been in touch with people? I can't imagine what they're going through.
Yeah, I've been out here all week now, just, trying to prevent if something does happen to be, close to the house. But yeah, the people, I can't tell you, they're still friends. I don't even know if they've lost their houses or not. And some of them, quite honestly, they can't still get into the Palisades to see if they lost their house or how much they lost. So it's pretty sad. It's, it's the most horrific thing I've experienced here in 30 years. And, we drove. I have a police officer friend. I didn't even actually want to see it. It's terrible.
Yeah.
But I feel bad for them. And, like I said, now it's just a matter of these winds are still threatening. And then you got these people, for whatever reason, they're starting fires. And it's just crazy. Beyond me how people can. Yeah. They should charge them, with murder. People have been, died because of these fires. So it's sad. I feel really bad for all these people.
Oh, we feel for you, Chelly, and everybody going through that out there in California. Back here in Chicago, the Hawks have lost 9 of 11. And we referenced earlier, really, on the Chicago Sports Network, Darren Pang, the Blackhawk analyst, said the other night after the Calgary game that the Hawks were not playing for one another and it was not good hockey. Pretty candid comments from Panger. Just wonder, when you see this Hawks team, is it easy for you to agree?
Yeah, I mean, for them to be successful, it can't be, four guys a night that play well and, four guys don't. And, the competition thing is what I, question, day in and day out. It's one thing, you're young and you make mistakes, but it's just the energy. And I get it. I've been there. And when that year I left the Hawks, when we did make the playoffs, it was tough coming to the rink. But at the end of the day, you got a job to do and you got to show up every game. And, you saw against Calgary, a few of the key guys struggled and, the effect it had on the team. And, I don't want to keep making excuses. I know they're a young team, but effort is, it's unacceptable, just the effort. And it's the same mistakes over and over that some guys are making, but I just see the effort. And they say all the right things, and I think, Foligno's done a great job of, criticizing the team and holding each other accountable. But at the end of the day, they have to realize that whoever's coaching or whatever, they've got to show up every game and hope, they start building. That's what's going to happen here with all these young kids and learning and draft picks. But it's frustrating, when all of a sudden you see them have a couple good games and then they take a few steps backwards. But it's still a learning curve. I'm going to direct it towards Connor Bedard. I watched him. And, this kid, he works, and there's some great defensive plays he made last game, which is a good sign because he's trying and it should rub off on the rest of these guys.
I'm just curious, when you fire your coach, you bring in Anders Sorensen. Is that a problem when you talk about the discipline of the team or you talk about this idea that they're not playing for one another? Is it on him to instill that? How do you view that idea?
Well, it's a learning process for Anders, too. Obviously, yeah. It's his first time as a head coach in the NHL. He was known for bringing these young kids along and developing them. I think from a practice aspect, he connects with these kids. I think he's good at, the X's and O's and stuff. But then there's the other side of coaches that motivate. And you can see he's kind of a mild-mannered guy, right? And, some guys, even Luke Richardson, he didn't, go off and lose his temper. And so, sometimes it takes someone just biting these guys' heads off, and see if they get a reaction out of that. And it's like a player and a coach. It's an everyday thing, and it's repetitive. And it's like yelling at your kid when he's growing up. You still got to say the same thing over and over to him, regardless of how sick and tired of you get of doing it. That's how it works.
Chelly, stay safe out there. Really appreciate your insight. Have a good week.
Thanks, Chris.
All right, guys. Thank you. Take care.
That is Chris Chelios. Can you imagine out there protecting his house, trying to keep it from going. He's got a beautiful home out there and a lot of property.
It's just it's hard to relate to what people are going through in Southern California. And
oh, my God. It's unbelievable. I mean, there are people who have lost all their possessions. And I, you know, I get it. There's insurance money. There's they'll rebuild. I mean, communities are gone. Hospitals and houses of worship and schools.
It's terrible, Molly. It's great of him to come on even and fulfill that responsibility. We love talking to Chelly every week.
That's how he rolls. He's a good man. We got Stacy Dales next. We're going to get back to some NFL talk with our dear friend from the NFL Network. It's Molly and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.